It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Well, welcome back to Talkin' Golf. Glad you can join me this morning on this Sunday, August 1st. And my guest, the multi-talented Brian Crowe, our fearless leader with the Met Golf Writers Association, the general manager at Trump Ferry Point, broadcaster extraordinaire. Good morning, Brian. Welcome to Talking Golf.
Good morning, Ann. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's always great to connect with you. You're all over the place. And I know you as a golf instructor for many years, as a director of golf, now general manager. That about covers it all, Brian.
You know what? It's just one of those things, Ann. I was in the right place at the right time, and there was a transfer of my good friend Joe Roediger down to Trump, D.C., and I raised my hand and got the opportunity to be the general manager here at Trump Golf Links at Ferry Point, and it's a fantastic place, and I'm excited to have the opportunity.
I remember being there for the opening, which was incredible. What they've done at that golf course, right? What they turned it into.
Oh, man.
Land was not great land.
No, and it is truly a masterpiece. I mean, you've seen it, Ann, and now we are ranked number 6 in the country for top municipal clubs. And Jack Nicklaus just created a beautiful place here. It's hard to believe you're in the middle of the Bronx. And when you're out there, it feels like Scotland. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it really is. It's just amazing to have, you know, the access to a golf course like that so close to Manhattan. But, well, there's so much to talk about. Let's start with the Olympics. Boy, I'm so happy for Xander Schauffele winning the gold, but he did not make it easy on himself, did he?
No. Well, I mean, who would have expected Rory shooting a 61 there? And not even the Rory the world expected. Sabatini coming out of nowhere to shoot that amazing final round and grab the silver medal. But, yeah, Xander with a 67 had to just barely sneak in there one stroke ahead of Sabatini for the gold medal. But I'm just so proud of what this young man has done. Of course, he hasn't won a major championship yet, but he's won the gold medal for the U.S. of A. And just a powerful moment for him because of all the storylines heading into this. His father, a decathlete wanting to be an Olympian, and his parents living in Tokyo, and it just so many different storylines all wrapped up in Xander Schauffele's win.
That's right. Clutch birdie on the 17th, and then that up and down on the final hole, for that 67 that he shot. And you mentioned Rory Sabatini. Who would have thought he'd be playing for Slovakia? He's South African. Right?
I'm telling you.
His wife is Slovakian, and his wife caddied for him as well. That's a great story.
It's, you know what? This is one of those special things. I was so excited to when it came back in Rio in 16, and I think golf is the absolute perfect sport for the Olympics. Don't you, Ann? I mean, that's that global nature of the game, and it's growing across the world. But to see all those flags flying, and it just makes so much sense. And I'm glad it's there, and I know it's going to continue in the Olympics for many years to come.
Well, I'm so glad it's in the Olympics, but what are your thoughts about the format? Because, you know, they play stroke play, but personally I think it would be more fun if it were a team competition, perhaps match play. So if the organizers could come up with criteria to select perhaps the top two players from the countries participating, with alternates, of course, and then you have a team of two players competing for their country, you know, I know golf is, you know, mostly an individual sport, but with a team competition, I think it would just drum up more interest in the Olympic arena. What are your thoughts about the format?
I'm sure they gave that a lot of thought. I think when it comes to team competition, there's nothing that can challenge the Ryder Cup, and I know the President's Cup is behind that, but I have a feeling that all of that was in discussion when they arrived at this format, and I think it's fine. The one thing I would say, Ann, is I think it would be cool if you were able to take the best score of of the men from one country and combine it with the best score of the women from a country and get a mixed medal podium as well.
Well, that's a great idea. Yeah.
So
that would be that. I just like the, you know, more of the team aspect when you're talking about the Olympics. I've had the opportunity to cover six Olympics for the network Radio Rights Holders, and I also really enjoy hearing and seeing the excitement. You know, Paul Casey was so excited to be there. Tommy Fleetwood, Xander was playing for his dad. I mean, these stories are so great. I have to say, there's really nothing quite like being a part of an Olympic Games, whether you're a spectator or whether you have the opportunity to cover the Olympic Games. And of course, you know, without the spectators this time around, they didn't get the complete experience, I don't think. But I loved seeing these guys, particularly the golfers, so excited to be there.
Oh, yeah, and one of the quotes, again, he wasn't the Rory we expected with a medal, but to see McIlroy say that, you know, this isn't just another golf tournament. It's much bigger than that. I didn't realize it until I got here. I think the golfers who had yet to play in an Olympic Games felt something much stronger than they expected when they got there. And I just, again, think it's going to be one of those events in the Olympics that grows dramatically in scale. But I'm telling you, this coming week we've got Jessica and Nelly Korda and Danielle Kang and Lexi Thompson representing the U.S. And I really want the Olympic Committee, Anne, to listen to WFAN and say, here's a great idea. We're going to put the best women's score and put it alongside the best men's score, and we're going to get mixed medals. I would love to see a man and a woman from each country up there on the podium for a medal ceremony. That would be fantastic.
I would love that. That's a great idea, Brian. And, of course, the big news coming out of the Olympics this week is Simone Biles withdrawing. What does this have to do with golf, right? I mean, a lot, because, you know, it's basically – golf is 99% mental, right? And you've been a golf instructor for a long time, and so often, you know, you're thinking about of executing a shot, and your body is out of sorts with your mind. That happens all the time in golf. But in gymnastics,
absolutely,
if you're not 100% mentally, it's really dangerous. So what are your thoughts about Simone Biles?
Well, I want to be honest and let you know my opinions on this story have changed a little bit. But the more I researched it and the more I realized what was happening, the more I understand what Simone did, because she's talking about a condition called the twisties, which golfers are familiar with if they've ever had the yips. It's something that takes over your body and you don't really have control of it. And like you said, Anne, if you're midair and you're doing events like Simone does, having the yips in gymnastics can lead to serious injury. So, I don't think this story came to light properly. She started by saying it was an injury, then it became a mental health issue, and she said she wasn't in the right place mentally. I don't think it's any of that. I think this twisties is the real explanation. And frankly, as a gymnast, that is dangerous. So she made what I feel now is the right decision, absolutely. But I think it was a sensible decision. I think it was safe. I think it was smart. I don't necessarily agree that it was brave or courageous. I'm not sure about that angle, how they're talking about her being the MVP and courageous. It's really just sensible and smart.
Right.
I think if you've lost that orientation in the air, you could see her eyes were all over the place. So I understand, and I certainly feel for her with this, but I fall short of saying it was brave. I think it was smart.
Right. I think, you know, she's 24 now. And maybe if she had the twisties, whatever you want to call it, basically it's when your mind and body are simply not in sync, as she described it in quotes. If she were younger, maybe she would not have had the guts to pull out, and perhaps she could have gotten injured. You know what I'm saying? That's why I think a lot of people are calling it brave, too, because the last thing you want to do after working that hard, training and you know, just getting to that level again, the last thing you want to do is pull out of the competition. That would be one tough decision. So I think that's why I think a lot of people are calling it brave. It is sensible, certainly. But who wants to pull out of a competition like that?
I know.
Just hard decision, right? I mean,
yeah.
Your mind goes blank and you're disoriented and you're doing all these crazy moves, some of the most difficult moves that she invented, by the way. And you don't know where you are up in the air. You know, that could be major tragedy if you land wrong or wipe out. So
absolutely. And I do give her. I do give her credit. You know, it was a mature move, and I talked to my youngest daughter, Christina, who was a diver for Penn State, and divers have experienced this as well, and you lose control of where you are in space. You forget which way is mm-hmm. up, and of course, at least with diving, you're landing in water. And right. for a gymnast to lose your orientation in space, you could land on your neck have some serious injury. So it was a sensible move, and I wish her all the best. And I think the big story here is her teammates who rose to the occasion and still won the team silver. Another one of the great stories that may have been overshadowed by Simone's decision to pull out, but how about that women's gymnastics
right.
team? I mean, that was
right.
incredible.
Together. Absolutely, after such a major announcement. And controversy, really. Pulling
yeah.
together and winning that team silver is huge. But, you know, when you get back to mind and body being in sync, as a golf instructor for so many years, Brian, obviously that's so important in our sport of golf. And how does one consistently get your mind and body in sync? That's not easy.
No, it's not. And, you know, we're talking about a specific condition here. In gymnastics, it's known as the twisties, as we've mentioned. In golf, it's the yips. And it's really, it's a form of focal dystonia where basically you lose control over some of the smaller muscles in your hands. And the yips most predominantly hit the putting stroke. And boy, if you've ever had it, you know it's bizarre. It's like an electric shock goes off in your hands. And you know, it is one of those things that we don't like to talk about because it's a scary thing. You can't overcome it, but in many cases it takes time and it takes a number of different techniques to try before you can find your way through that. And I'm not sure how it's going to affect Simone and her career, but in golf you can overcome it. I think of Bernhard Langer and trying different grips and using a splint style grip to attach the putter grip to his forearm, just anything to get through it. And it worked for Bernhard, and I hope Simone finds something that can get her to the next level in her career.
Is there any technique that you can share if you have the yips, how one gets rid of the yips?
Well, that's, believe it or not, that's one. I mean, trying different grips on the putter. I've had some students who have literally decided to putt left-handed to take the entire motion and change it is something that's
right.
very effective. You almost need to disconnect and try something new. There's
and
also
a new putter. Can you blame the equipment?
Of course, you know, all the best players have some reason, and blaming the equipment is part of it. Yeah, you could get a different look down there. And but to be honest, there's in many cases different ways to activate pressure. If you squeeze the putter grip really hard right before you take the stroke and then relax it, there's a chance that you can get rid of these yip conditions. And just there's a number of techniques, and you need to go through them with a PGA or an LPGA instructor. And trust me, folks, if you have that, it's scary, but there is a way through it.
I love that advice. Squeezing the putter really hard. I'm going to try that. Anyway, let's talk about the U.S. Senior Women's Open Championship, Brian. It's taking place. So much going on right here in our area, right? Taking place in Connecticut at Brooklawn Country Club. And Annika Sorenstam seems to have picked up where she left off. She's leading the championship.
I mean, how do you do that? How do you take a 13-year hiatus? I mean, I know she came back and played an LPGA Tour event and made the cut and played well, but this is just incredible to see that the cream of the crop rising yet again. Of course, she's got some work to do today, but this is exactly what the USGA hoped for, I think, having a big star like Annika rise to the top. She's in the lead by two over Liselotte Neumann, and they're playing right down the road, Ann. I mean, WFAN, you can almost hear your voice at Brooklawn Country Club. So kind of exciting to have them right here in our area.
That reminds me, you know, the U.S. Women's AM is at Westchester Country Club coming up, and it reminds me back in the day I'd be up in the tower that they had right on the 18th green. And Ed Ingalls, may he rest in peace, from WCBS Radio, and I, we'd both be up there, and we'd be whispering because, you know, the players were right below us. And it was just, you were right there, as, you know, you guys are a lot in the TV booth. But it's just so exciting to have all these incredible, you know, championships in the New York metropolitan area. And just getting back to Annika for a second, she said this week that what she really likes about being a little older and being away from the game is that she can forget about bad shots quickly. And before, she couldn't. She said she would hold on to the bad thoughts for a while, and she would beat herself up. So I like that attitude, right? And that's what I try to convey to other amateur golfers out there. You have to have fun with it, and you can't remember. You can't be upset when you miss a putt or you hit a poor shot. You just have to have fun and forget the bad shots, right?
Easier said than done, but what I would like to share with your listeners, Ann, is a little mantra that has helped me and my kids with golf, and that would be, every bad shot is a chance for a great recovery. If you can grab onto that thought and say, you know what, okay, that one was bad, but man, wait till you see how I overcome this situation that I've put myself in. That's the mindset that you need out there. Obviously, that's the mindset that Annika Sorenstam is so great at, 72 times a winner on the LPGA Tour. Just incredible to see her in the lead. I can't wait to see how that all comes to pass later today. I do want to say a quick note to Cheryl Anderson, good friend here in the Met PGA. Of course, she's down with Mike Bender in Florida right now, but she worked at a number of clubs here in the area. She made the cut, and she's in a tie for 18th right now. She shot a minus 171 yesterday. That's right. Lauren's out there. So yeah. It's such a cool story. One of many. You think of Joanne Carner shooting a 79 to beat her age by three strokes. She's 82 playing out there. Just exciting.
I can't believe it. There's so much going on. Ron Syrak's going to join me in a few minutes, too. He's up there, and we'll continue talking about it. But, Brian, we there's so much we can talk about. You're such a joy to know, and you're just doing so much great work. And you're also president of our Met Golf Writers Association, and we should plug our National Awards Dinner coming up in October at Wingfoot, right?
That's right.
You know, continued success, and I'll see you in the neighborhood, I'm sure.
And such a pleasure to talk golf with you, and thanks for all you do for our sport and so many others. It's a great thing you're doing, so thanks for having me on the show.
Have a great day. Thanks so much, Brian Kroll.